our Bibles to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. Our text tonight is found in verses 11 through 18. Our topic is getting rid of God. Revelation 13, verses 11 through 18. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he goeth, and he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, and the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark of the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of man, and his number is 600, 666. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. Pray that you would use it to minister to our hearts and to teach us, that we might be prepared for all that which is going to come upon the earth and already is upon the earth, that which will be faced and we are already facing, that we might be a wise people, knowing the signs of the times and knowing the ways of the evil one. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the problems that we have in history, building our history, knowledge of history of bygone centuries, is that many times kings, rulers would destroy all references to their predecessors. If they took over a kingdom and hated their predecessor, one of the first things they would do would be to destroy some of the most important records of those previous reigns. And so as a result, many times we don't have records that we otherwise might have had, because these rulers had the desire of getting rid of every semblance of evidence of any prosperity of their predecessor. Now, man has also had, down through the ages, that same desire regarding God. They would like to get rid of God. If they could just get rid of every reference to God, they would feel so much more comfortable. And so they have attempted to do that. Evolution, in fact, has as its goal to get rid of a need of God. If we can account for the universe apart from God, then it makes us feel better, because we don't have to give account to a creator. Whereas if we recognize that we are his created beings, then we also recognize that we are accountable to him. And so the desire of the heart of man is to get rid of God and the thoughts about God. The uniting of the nations, as we saw in the first part of this chapter, resulted in the war with the saints. And we saw in verse 7 that it was given unto the beast, the first beast here, to make war with the saints and to overcome them. He was given power over all kindreds and tongues and nations, and sought in every way to do away with the knowledge of God. but found that was not possible. This has happened already in history. During the first part of this century, in the land of Russia, the government sought to totally do away with every vestige of religion in the entire nation of Russia. However, as the years went on, they found that this was not possible, in spite of the fact that their prisons were filling up with preachers of the gospel, that they were not doing away with religion, and something else had to be done. They were practicing Revelation 13, verses 1 to 10, but it wasn't working. And that's the reason we are given here, Revelation 13, verses 11 to 18. This is Plan B. Plan A doesn't work. Okay, let's try Plan B then. And this is exactly what Russia has done. They've tried now Plan B, and that's what they now have in effect. Let's look at these plans that God here has warned us of, told us would come to pass, are coming to pass, have in ages past, and will increasingly in future years come to pass. Because these are not strictly events. These are basic principles that have been happening, are happening, and will increasingly in the future continue to happen. We find two things here. First of all, when total persecution does not work as far as getting rid of religion, then there needs to be another plan. And regarding this plan, first of all, there is the need of a special person. And so we see here a special person is provided. I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. We see here first the nature of this special person that is needed. His nature, first of all, is that he is a beast. And this is the common word for a wild animal. And so the nature of this person is that of a wild beast, a savage person, selfish, unscrupulous. Notice we are told here, I beheld another beast, and in the Greek there are two words for another. One means another of the same kind, and the other word means another of a different kind. This one is another of the same kind. And so these are of one mind. So we have another beast here who is going to work with this first beast because the first plan was not working. Notice that as to the nature of this beast also, that he comes out of the earth. He is of the earth, earthy. His whole focus is of this world. He is in the third place. We see that he has two horns like a lamb, showing that he is deceitful. The two horns like a lamb, the same word lamb that we read of in verse 8, the book of life of the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And so we find here the hypocrisy of this beast in that he pretends to be Christian. And so he is a religious beast who pretends Christianity, professes Christianity, in spite of being wild and worldly. He has a religious appearance, and that's a part of his program. We find here that in spite of having two horns like a lamb, giving the appearance then of being a Christian, that he speaks as a dragon, as the serpent, that old serpent, the devil. And so there is subtlety and deceit of the serpent in this one who looks like a lamb but is vicious and worldly. And so that's the nature of this person that is needed for Plan B. Secondly, we see the authority of this person, and we find that he exerciseth all the power of the first beast. In other words, all of the power of the first beast is at the disposal of the second beast. And so we find here a religious organization that has total power from the governmental organization. We find government giving all of its power and authority over to this religious organization. And this religious organization then in total subservience and subjection to the governmental organization. And so the second beast here is not just a one person that we're looking forward to meeting, to seeing, although each time that this has occurred in history and is occurring now and will increasingly occur, there is a person in charge of this organization. But we have here a basic principle that continues to occur, that of worldly political power under the guise of Christianity, and the purpose of this is for the deceiving of the saints. And so this is the nature of this special organization and the special person leading this organization. The second thing we want to notice here is the special method that is used. First, we note the nature of the method. In verse 13, we see that he doeth great wonders. In other words, there are awesome demonstrations of power. We find in verse 14 that he deceiveth. In other words, there is deceit involved in his method of operation. We find also in verse 14 that he gives a new image to the first beast. And the first beast is given the image of a benefactor of mankind, a defender of the faith, pretending to be a friend and a promoter of the gospel. You see, the second beast then presents the first beast in a totally new light so that all will admire this first beast, and even to the point of worship. So the second beast gives the first beast a whole new image so that he will have the total confidence and cooperation of the entire nation. Now, this is for a goal. And we note then, secondly, the goal of this special method that is needed here. And the goal is the acceptance of this new image of the old beast. The beast now becomes a friend and a promoter of religion. However, we note that the goal also is a total submission of all Christians to this government-controlled brand of Christianity. You see, before, with the persecution, the Christians could just go underground. But here, with this new approach, all who even profess religion are to join up with this government-sponsored religion, and all who do not then are not able to buy or sell, and as a result there is no food and there is no work if there is not a positive allegiance to the beast. So all then that are not willing to cooperate will die. All who are not willing to compromise will die. And this is exactly what has happened in Russia. It hasn't gotten totally to this extent yet, but this is the direction in which it has gone. Now, there are many dear, godly, faithful, Christian, Russian brethren whom we love in Christ, and nevertheless we recognize what is going on in their nation. We grieve with them for that which has happened in their nation. And they share with us. We receive reports regularly. They sharing with us themselves how Revelation chapter 13 has come to pass in their nation. And so during the first part of the century, the government found it was impossible to eradicate by putting all the leaders in prison. And so as a result, the Russian government behind the scenes, formed its own religious organization. They were unable to find and to exterminate all Christians, and so the next thing is to implicate all Christians. And so their solution was to get a religious beast that would cooperate then with the political beast. What the government did was go through the prisons and find pastors in prison who were weak from sufferings and willing to cooperate with the tempting offer of forming a union of all churches. However, one little catch, they would report to the governmental organization, the Bureau of Religion in the government. Now, some thought that they would be able to work within this Council of Churches, All Union Council of Churches. And they would be able, through that organization, to do good for the gospel. It looked like they were gaining a measure of freedom that would enable them to preach the gospel. And many of them then agreed to cooperate and were then released and placed in positions of authority in this organization. But as the years went on, they found out that the freedom that they had was somewhat similar to the freedom that was given to Samson as he was allowed to walk around in circles grinding up the grain. It was actually a terrible slavery. Now, through this Council of Churches, then, total surveillance can be maintained over all religious activity. And any activity within these churches that does not directly benefit the state can be immediately checked. Because everyone in that chain of activity knows that his position hangs by one slim thread, the thread of cooperation. If he should break that slim thread of cooperation, he could be replaced immediately in this all-union council of churches of Christians and Baptists of the Soviet Union. And so he hangs by a thread, and he realizes that. And so what was thought to be freedom has become an even greater slavery. Now, some Christians saw through this new form of slavery, and as a result have refused to join the state-controlled union of churches. However, since preaching is only allowed in registered churches, that means any preaching outside of registered churches is a violation of the law. And those committing that violation are thrown into prison and beaten and in many, many other ways made to see the error of their way. Unregistered churches then are illegal. And for that reason, unregistered churches are closed, padlocked. Illegal meetings are broken up, whether they're in homes or even if they're meeting out in the snow in the forest. They're broken up because they are illegal. Their failure is to register their church with the government. And some might say, well, why don't they register? Because to register then is to place oneself in a total program of surveillance of others and being at the same time under that same surveillance. And so it becomes a civil crime of failure to register with the governmental authorities. And that's why some have very ignorantly and foolishly said that there is no religious persecution in Russia, because all you have to do is register with the government, and if you're registered with the government, you are allowed to have preaching services in your church. But the real picture is not seen. The real slavery is not on the surface. because the second beast, the religious beast, has brought into play a power that the first beast, the political beast, was not able to wield. And so registration means cooperation, and with the ultimate goal of destruction of Christianity. Part of the cooperation is that all preaching is strictly monitored. Religious instruction of children is prohibited. There are no baptisms under 30 years of age. And so you see the tight control with the goal of little by little smothering the church. And so this fake religious beast, working to gain submission to the political beast, not only exists in Russia, and we only mention Russia because it's very clear there, but it exists here in the United States as well. The only thing in the United States, we don't see it as clearly. So we have to look at a picture that is a little more advanced than ours to be able to see it. And then we look back and we see traces of this same situation here in the USA. Note the number of the beast. The number of the beast, 666. I'd like to have you notice in verse 18 that we are told it is the number of a man. Now the article, the indefinite article, is not in the Greek as we have it here in the English. It is the number of man. Not a man, it's the number of man. And what God is telling us, that this religious beast is totally humanistic. Because the number six in Scripture is the number of man. And 666 means he is totally man. Three times man. A trinity of humanism. And we'll see later in our study of Revelation the beast and the dragon and the false prophet. A trinity of humanism. And so we have this here in our nation today. In today, humanism is the predominant religion in the United States of America. Liberal Christianity is flooded with humanism. And sometimes I wonder how much we really grasp ourselves of how much humanism has infiltrated into what we would even call fundamental Christianity. And its goal is to bring in a reign of political and religious humanism powerful enough to smother Christianity. They would never be able to do away with the gospel by just killing off the leaders of the Christian movement. That doesn't work. They have to smother Christianity by means of a religious beast who cooperates with the political beast to gain total submission. And today in our nation here, we have many pressures towards registering our Christian schools. And the promise then that, you know, this is a very simple thing. All we're asking you to do is to register your school. But you see, that's the first step. And outwardly, you can't see the pressures that afterwards come. It looks fine until the pressures come. The next thing will be register your church, and we will give you authority to preach. Just like now they say register your school, and we will give you authority to teach. But the ultimate pressures have one goal, and that is the total extermination of your school and of your church. And so the principles of Revelation 13 are in operation today in our nation. And even though they will increasingly become more and more operative, as we see the extent here in Revelation 13, because Satan's desire is to get rid of God. He doesn't want God. And the heart of men love darkness rather than light, and so they want to get rid of the gospel. And so that's their goal. And so we as Christians need to be alert as to what is going on in our nation. We need to pray for our nation. We need to pray for those of other nations that where the work of the beast is more developed even than in our nation. And we need to recognize what is going on and what will go on in a greater way even. And we need to be in prayer for our nation, and we need to learn the ways of Satan that we might stand for that which is right. This is the number of man. And everything that we do in our church that is humanistic in its philosophy is cooperating with this second beast, who later we see is called the false prophet. And we need to ask God as we search the scriptures that he would deliver us from that which is of the nature of the beast, and that we might resist and reject that which we see to be his ways of working in our nation. Father, we thank you that you warn us in the Word of God of that which is coming to pass and already is, even as we are told of John. In 1 John, the Antichrist not only will come, but he's already here. And down through the ages, we've seen these same principles over and over again applied. And we pray that we might not be ignorant of his devices, but alert to his ways, and that we as a people might be aware of the times in which we live and of the dangers that surround us, and be able to stand firm and in faith against the pressures. Pressures that at times would seem so simple, and others would even criticize us, saying, well, what's wrong with that? I don't see why you can't do that. But the matter of compromise is such a deceitful matter, and we are little by little drawn into a net from which afterwards there is no getting out. And so we pray that you'd make us to be, as your people, students of the Word of God, alert to the teaching of your Word, and sensitive to the direction of your Spirit, that we might not be ignorant of the principles of operation of the forces of evil that are round about us. We pray for our brethren in other lands. We at this time are suffering so little at the hands of the beast of humanism. Others in other lands are suffering much more. We pray for them that you would encourage them and help them, and grant that we might be alert to the reasonings behind that which has brought their sufferings. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.